engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the book of Genesis. At the time when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, while as yet there was no field shrub on earth, and no grass of the field had sprouted, for the Lord God had sent no rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the soil, but a stream was welling up out of the earth, and was watering all the surface of the ground, the Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground, and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and so man became a living being. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and he placed there the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God made various trees grow that were delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then the Lord God took the man and settled him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and care for it. The Lord God gave man this order: "You are free to eat from any of the trees of the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From that tree you shall not eat. The moment you eat from it, you are surely doomed to die." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O bless the Lord, my soul. O bless the Lord, my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are great indeed. You are clothed with majesty and glory, robed in light as with a cloak. O bless the Lord, my soul. All creatures look to you to give them food in due time. When you give it to them, they gather it. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. O bless the Lord, my soul. If you take away their breath, they perish and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. O bless the Lord, my soul. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from the outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile." When he got home, away from the crowd, his disciples questioned him about the parable. He said to them, "Are even you likewise without understanding? Do you not realize that everything that goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and passes out into the latrine?" Thus he declared all foods clean. But what comes out of the man, that is what defiles him. From within the man, from his heart, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my friends, there are actually two accounts of creation in the beginning of the Bible, which we are privileged to read from in these days, as we began 2 days ago the book of Genesis, and we'll continue in it now for a while. Two accounts of creation. Today we have the second one. The first one, of course, goes through the days, you know, of the first day and the second day, what God said and created on each day. But here we have the second account of the creation of the pinnacle, the crowning of all that God made, human life. We believe in the sanctity of human life. We are a pro-life church. We are pro-life individuals. We have a country founded on the right to life here in America. And We're talking about the sanctity and dignity specifically of human life. We have to make sure that when we use the term pro-life, we don't widen it so much that we dilute its meaning. Of course, we embrace love for all creation, and of course, we embrace love for people in all circumstances and at all stages of development. But when we talk about the pro-life movement, we're talking about something very specific. We're talking about the sanctity of human life, and in particular, we're talking about the most vulnerable ones, the children in the womb. And in regard to them, the question of whether or not they are human, frankly, is an outdated question. I mean, one might as well ask whether the earth is flat. You know, there used to be a controversy about that. Is the earth flat or is it round? Does the sun go around the earth or does the earth go around the sun? I mean, there are basic scientific questions that today we take for granted. We take it as common knowledge, but it wasn't always common knowledge. And yet, if one were to question these things today, one would say, well, yeah, you know, we can go back and review the scientific evidence that the world is round. I mean, obviously, it's not a perfect globe, but it's technically called an oblate spheroid. But you get into the scientific details, and it's like these things have been well established for the longest time. So has the truth about how you and I started. We're not talking about life in some kind of diffuse, generic sense. We're talking about your life, my life. When did we start as the man, the woman that we are? When did we begin with our unique genetic code, that unique combination never before seen, never to be repeated, that constitute all the characteristics of you and your neighbor and me? When did it start? Well, scientifically, we know the answer to that question. We learned it in grade school. Fertilization, sperm and ovum, uniting genetic material, combining. It's a process that begins a never before seen and never again to be repeated unique individual human life. We know when a human life begins. We see, you say when life begins, and some people say, well, it's a continuum because, you know, your parents gave you life and you give life to your children. That's not the question. The question is, when did your unique human life begin? We know the answer to that question, and it's scientifically based. Now, the question of how much value does that life have? How much protection does that life deserve? These are philosophical, religious, moral, constitutional, legal questions, independent from the scientific question. But the scientific question is not in doubt. So people say, oh, well, you know, there's a big unresolved question of when human life begins. Is not unresolved. The Supreme Court back in 1973 feigned ignorance and said, well, the judiciary, the court, is not capable of answering the question of when life begins. Well, we sure are now. We sure are now. They were then, too. That was only 1973. They knew full well. But I bring this up because we're reading here in the first reading the account of the creation, the second account of the creation of human beings. And we see a familiar story here. God blew the breath of life into the man whom he created from the clay of the ground. And now we know after that, God took a rib from Adam, this first man, and created Eve. And I bring this up because some, in trying to defend abortion, and you will hear abortionists say this, and you will also hear some politicians say this, that the life begins not when you're in the womb, but that the life begins when you're born, because that's when you first breathe, you take breath. And they point back to this account in Genesis, and where it says God took the clay of the ground and formed man and then blew into his nostrils the breath of life. Brothers and sisters, What's being asserted here is not the question of when an individual unique human life begins. What's being asserted here is that God is the creator of human life and that he created the first man, Adam. It's not a question of when does life begin? Does it begin when only when you breathe? Remember, there was no other human being around at the time that God created Adam, so he had to blow the breath of life into him. He had to create him as he did, as an already born man, because he could not possibly have had a mother. There was no womb. There was no human womb in existence. This was a unique instance where God formed someone from the clay. It was a unique instance when he created Eve, the first woman, out of the side of Adam. This was unique because it was the beginning. From then until now, until the end of time, human reproduction takes place with the fertilization from mom, from dad, fertilization and growth in the womb. But it couldn't have happened with Adam and Eve. There was no mother and father. If somebody takes the ridiculous position, and it is ridiculous, of saying, well, therefore this means that until you breathe, you're not human, well, then one might as well say that for human life to be human, it has to be created from the clay of the ground or from the rib of the man. No, this was the unique beginning of the human family. It's no argument for when and how your or my human life begins or that of our children. Not to mention the fact that when Scripture says the breath of life, it's talking about a word, breath, which is the same as spirit. Ruah in the Hebrew of the Old Testament. The breath, the spirit gives life. And that spirit gives life from the womb, not from birth, from the womb. Again, like I say, there are abortionists, there are politicians, there are pro-abortion advocates. They try to say that the Bible tells us that life doesn't begin until you're born. That's ridiculous. Because we have passage after passage talking about the unborn child. As a matter of fact, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter, I'm going to give you a few of these verses here. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 5, listen to this. Just as you know not how the breath of life fashions the human frame in the mother's womb, so you do not know the work of God which he is accomplishing in the universe. In other words, Scripture says the breath of life comes to us in the womb. Now, do you know, let me show you a couple of other translations of that verse. Just as you do not know how the breath comes to the bones in the mother's womb, so do you not know the work of God. Or another translation, no one can explain how a baby breathes before it's born. Before it's born. This is Scripture. Or just as you don't know how the breath of life enters the limbs of a child within its mother's womb. And that's very clearly what Scripture says. You know, of course, the most famous passage about the construction of each of us in the womb is Psalm 139, which says in part, truly you have formed my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I give you thanks that I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul also you knew full well, nor was my frame unknown to you when I was made in secret, when I was fashioned in the depths of the earth. The depths of the earth being, as it said in the previous verse, the mother's womb. Well, it's no longer a secret place, is it? With ultrasound and other imaging technologies, it's no longer a secret place. It's still just as wondrous, and it's still God's handiwork that makes us in the womb, not at birth, in the womb. But it's not secret. In fact, we know so much about the unborn child that we can perform surgery on them. And we also know that they breathe. See, this again is where it's such a silly argument to try to make that you're not human until you breathe with your lungs, because you do breathe in the womb. You do so in a physiologically different way. But why do we breathe now? Why do we have to inhale and our lungs expand? Why does that happen? Because we need oxygen. You don't think you needed oxygen when you were in the womb, but your lungs were not expanded at that point. They were still developing, and you were in the amniotic fluid. How did you breathe? How did you get oxygen? And the answer, we know the answer. The placenta. The placenta up against that uterine wall is the place where there's the transfer between the baby's bloodstream and the mother's bloodstream, and the oxygen in the mother's blood transfers across the placenta into the bloodstream of the baby. That's how you and I breathed. And even exhaling, what do we exhale? The carbon dioxide? Well, that's what we did in the womb too, except we didn't exhale it through our nose and with our lungs. We exhaled it with the placenta. And the carbon dioxide flows then from the baby, again, through the placental wall, which is a very, very complex, intricate, and well-designed and well-modified supervised, if you will, as far as what gets through and what doesn't. Because the blood streams are separate. The blood types are often enough different, right, between mother and baby. But you have the placental wall where the oxygen goes in and the carbon dioxide goes out. Is there the breath of life there? Is the child existing, growing, living? Of course. Otherwise, you might as well say that the earth is flat. Not only does God wonderfully, beautifully make the child and give the breath of life in the womb, but God has a relationship with that unborn child. The book of Job, he says, did not, in chapter 31, did not he who made me in the womb make him, in other words, my neighbor, did not the same one fashion us before our birth, Scripture says. Psalm 51 says, a sinner was I conceived, not born, conceived. Jeremiah, speaking of his call, Jeremiah chapter 1, God says to him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, not someone else, you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. So the baby in the womb not only exists, not only is known and made by God, but has a relationship and a calling from God and a dedication to God. Paul says the same thing when he writes to the Galatians in chapter 1. God, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace. The unborn child has a calling. You abort that baby, not only are you killing a life, you're contradicting and interfering with the call and plan of Almighty God. Not a good idea to do. Luke chapter 1, what happens? What happens when Mary visits her kinswoman Elizabeth, who is pregnant? The moment your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. The brephos is the Greek word used in the New Testament for the infant in the womb. And when people brought their babies to Jesus, born children, in order that he might touch and bless them, the same word brephos is used. Scripture is very clear. The child that is born, the man and the woman that is grown, is the very same person as that one in the womb. Today, with this beautiful reading talking about the creation of human life, it's important for us to properly understand what Scripture is saying. And as we worship God in this Mass, let us again thank Him for the gift of life and recommit ourselves, brothers and sisters, to doing everything we can to defend it, especially against the violence of abortion. Lord, breathe on us once again. Help us have a proper understanding of the breath of life. And help us, Lord, take hold of your life now, not only on the natural level, where we preserve our lives and the lives of others, but help us again, Lord, in this Mass to embrace your supernatural life, the gift indeed of life eternal. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.